Good morning, everyone. Have we all got the page? Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Thanks, Monica, and good morning, everyone. Shall we pray as we come to God's word? Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the challenge that it brings. We thank you for the encouragement that it brings. And we pray this morning that you would speak to each of us, that you would challenge us, and that you would encourage us. Lord, give us ears that are open to hear from you this morning. And Lord, would you make changes to our lives even today? Amen. Amen. So I wonder if you ever worry that your faith is too weak. Do you worry that you might one day lose your faith and miss out on a future in heaven with Jesus? As the country that we live in grows increasingly hostile to Christians, do you wonder if your faith is strong enough to keep going despite the constant everyday challenge? If tragedy were to fall upon you or someone that you loved, or indeed if it already has, do you worry that your faith is just too weak to persist through times of trial? If you're one of the younger ones here this morning and you see your life stretching out before you, and it just seems so long, do you worry that you might not be able to sustain your faith for such a long period of time? If you feel far from God this morning and you're busy and you're tired, do you worry that the faith that once felt so vibrant and so exciting might just peter out to nothing? This morning, Jesus has hugely encouraging words for all of you, words that he wants you to hear. And although some of what Jesus teaches in this passage is perhaps a little bit tricky, please hold on to the fact that there is a huge amount of encouragement and reassurance for us all here this morning. So as we look down again to John chapter 10, please do have it in front of you. Perhaps the first thing that crosses your mind is that it's sheep again. It's sheep again. For 2 weeks already, we've heard Joel talking about sheep, how Jesus is the shepherd and the sheep hear his voice, how the sheep follow the shepherd, but they won't follow a stranger, how Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. In today's passage, John is recalling another time that Jesus speaks on the subject of sheep, and he's addressing some similar themes. Time's passed since the last time he was talking about sheep, and Jesus is back in Jerusalem, and this time he's there to celebrate the festival of dedication, it says in our passage. And that is what modern-day Jews and what we would all call Hanukkah now. It commemorates the rededication of the temple in 164 BC after it had been desecrated by an occupying force. And we find Jesus in Solomon's colonnade, it says. And this is the place in the temple where rabbis would instruct their followers. And we see a group of Jews gathering around Jesus, and they ask him a question. They ask him, how long would you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. Now, perhaps the person in the crowd who called out that question was genuinely hopeful that Jesus was in fact the Messiah, that he might be a mighty warrior who would come and overthrow the occupying force and restore them to a time of peace and prosperity. But perhaps thinking back to what we've heard in recent weeks about the Jewish leaders and Jesus' interactions with them, it's perhaps more likely that the person calling out was trying to trap Jesus into saying something blasphemous, claiming to be God at a time when the temple was really crowded again. How long would you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly. You can almost feel Jesus' shoulders sagging as he responds, I did tell you. I did tell you. And perhaps there's a hint of kind of incredulity here. I did tell you. Didn't you hear me? Haven't you read John chapter 8, maybe? Didn't you hear me when I said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. Didn't you hear me when I said, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Didn't you hear me when I said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Before Abraham was born, I am. I am. You know what that means? I am. I did tell you. I did tell you. But you do not believe. And Jesus goes on, if you have a look. I haven't just told you. You've also seen the works that I've done in my Father's name. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. Remember the invalid at the pool. Remember the man born blind. These works, these miracles that I've performed, back up what I'm saying. They show that my claims have credibility, and still you don't believe. You ask me to tell you plainly, but if your eyes and your ears were open, you would clearly see. But you don't see, says Jesus. You do not believe. Now, I guess if you've been coming regularly to Christchurch and hearing the series that we've been looking at in John, you'll have realised that believing is quite a big deal for John in the gospel that he's written. He tells us the purpose of this book, this purpose of his gospel, is that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Right at the beginning of his gospel, John writes, he came to that which was his own, but he did not receive him. His own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. As Martin's already mentioned, that famous verse in John chapter 3, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Belief is required if we're to become God's children. Belief is required if we're to receive eternal life. If you're not yet a Christian here this morning, this is the message that John wants you to get hold of as you read his book. Look at Jesus. Listen to what he said. Examine the works that he did and believe. Believe that he is the Messiah, the Saviour, the Son of God. As you examine the evidence, you need to believe. Not close your eyes to the truth like the Jews did here. And if you're a Christian here today, then our purpose, I think, needs to be the same as that of John, doesn't it? We want people we know, our families, our children, our friends and our colleagues, to come to believe in the Saviour. This is what we must pray for. This is why we must invite them to look at Jesus, to listen to what he says, and to see what he did. Now, the Jews here in this passage had seen Jesus. They had heard what he said. They'd seen the things that he'd done. and yet they did not believe. Now, verse 26, if you have a quick look, goes on to give Jesus' reason why these Jews were not believing. It says this, "But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. You do not believe because you are not my sheep." Now, if we pause and think about this just for a second, we might think John's got it wrong here. Surely that's not what Jesus said. Surely Jesus says, "You are not my sheep because you don't believe." Surely what he means is that your lack of belief excludes you from my flock. You don't believe, so you're not coming with me. But no, that's not what it says. Jesus says, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep. You're not capable of believing because you're not one of mine." To use the picture that Joel told us about shepherds and sheep a couple of weeks ago, essentially Jesus is saying, "I came to the sheep pen in the morning to collect my flock. I called to them, but you took no notice. You didn't follow me out because you didn't recognize my voice. You're not one of my flock. I wasn't calling your name because you're not one of my sheep. You belong to another shepherd." And we know that John didn't get it wrong here, because Jesus said a very similar thing to this in chapter 8. He said this, "Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." These Jews in the temple at that time that Jesus were talking to were not part of the flock. And Jesus says, "This is why you don't believe." Now, you may have noticed that I've said two things already that perhaps feel slightly difficult to reconcile. There are two Bible truths here that are hard to put together, but the Bible teaches them both, and in many places. On the one hand, we have the truth that God is sovereign in choosing and calling the sheep. Ephesians tells us that God chose his sheep before the creation of the world. The fact that this is the case means that these sheep that God has chosen are the ones that hear Jesus' voice when he calls. These are the sheep who will follow when he leads them out of the sheep pen. But I guess that on its own might sound quite fatalistic, like it robs us of any part in the decision to come to faith. And yet, on the other hand, the Bible teaches clearly that we're not puppets or some kind of mindless automata without agency or responsibility. As we've already seen, we're told we must believe. We must actively choose to repent, believe, and submit to the lordship of Jesus, to listen to him, to follow him, and to persevere in our faith. These two things are hard to put together, as I've said, but the Bible teaches them both. Jesus chooses his sheep, and we choose to believe. Now, before we move on, we must pause and note that it's Jesus here who is declaring that these people are not his sheep. I think this is really important. It's Jesus that declares these people are not his sheep. He's able to do that because he knows it to be true. He intimately knows his sheep and therefore knows those that are not. We, as mere humans, must never assume that we have that same perspective ourselves. We must never assume we have the same perspective as Jesus here. We can never write anyone off and say, "You are outside of Jesus' flock." If a family member has no interest in Jesus at the moment, you need to keep praying that they hear Jesus' voice calling their name. If a friend has come along to church once or twice, but perhaps doesn't want to come back, we must keep showing them Jesus and keep praying that Jesus might go out and find them and bring them back to the fold. We can never give up in our prayers and our efforts and write someone off as too far gone for Jesus. We don't have the perspective that Jesus has. And similarly, if you're not a Christian here today, you don't have permission to write yourself off as one of Jesus' sheep, to say that because of the person you are, because of the things you've done, there's no way you could ever be one of Jesus' sheep. No, you are here this morning. He may be calling you even now. Listen, listen to his voice and believe. The old hymn says, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment a pardon from Jesus receives. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. As we move into the second half of the passage here, we come to some really incredible encouragements for Jesus' sheep. Some really incredible encouragements. Verse 27. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they listen to me. The sheep in Jesus' flock listen to his voice and they follow him. We must be people who keep listening and keep following. I think Joel's talked about that quite a bit already. But in the middle of that sentence, we see the statement again that Jesus knows the sheep. Jesus knows the sheep. He's always known them. He marked them out as his long before they heard his voice. Don't know if you realise that, but if you're a Christian today, you were one of Jesus' sheep long before you decided to believe in him. In eternity past, Jesus knew you'd be his. And when you came to faith, it was because you finally heard his call and you followed. Even today, there'll be people here who Jesus knows to be his sheep and yet who have not yet believed. And he calls to them. And he calls to them. And one day they will hear clearly. We're chosen by God. We're Jesus' sheep. He calls us by name. Be reassured by this. Be reassured. If you're feeling weak in your faith today, he knows you. He knows you and he's always known you. He knows all there is to know and yet he loves you. He loves you enough to be the one that stands between you, the feeble sheep, and the fearsome beast that is the punishment you deserve and to say, no, this is one of my sheep. You'll not have him. I will save him. I'll save him from the punishment he deserves. I lay down my life for him. He's one of mine. I know him. And I've always known him. Because Jesus knew us long before we knew him, because he laid down his life for us, and because he's called us, he won't let us wander off. He won't lose any that the Father has given him. Continue into verse 28. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. This is something Christians talk about and sing about often. But I think it should never cease to thrill and to encourage us. When we believed, our eternal life began. Listen to the way Jesus describes that moment in John chapter 5. He says, very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Do you notice how irreversible the picture is here? We're raised from death to life. Elsewhere in the Bible, we're told that when we come to Jesus, our hearts are changed. The Spirit takes up residence within us and begins to change us and make us more like Christ. Could all of that be reversed? Can all of that be lost? No. Jesus has promised his sheep that they won't perish. They won't slip back from life into death again. Jesus has promised that his sheep will receive eternal life. There's a glorious and unbroken chain here from eternity past all the way to eternity future. If God chose you before the creation of the earth, and then you are called, then you are justified. and you will be glorified, to use the words of Romans 6. Put it a different way, God chooses his sheep and he gives them to Jesus. Jesus lays down his life for the sheep. He calls the sheep and he will bring the sheep to be with him in glory. Not one will be lost. What reassurance again from Jesus for weak and frail sheep. We can be sure this morning that if our faith is tested by trials or when it's battered by constant criticism, it will not fail, because Jesus has promised his sheep will receive eternal life. And although that eternal life has already begun, we await the day, don't we, when Jesus will return and all will be made new. In Revelation chapter 7, there's a slight mixed metaphor, but it says, "For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes." What an encouragement that is for Jesus' sheep. Finally, in verse 29, Jesus promises that no one will snatch his sheep from him. He holds us in his hand, and nothing and no one will be able to remove us from that place of security. Jesus presses home the point, "My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. The sheep are held firmly by the Father and by the Son. We're held secure deep within the unfathomable unity of the Trinity. Nothing and no one is going to snatch us out of there." Now, elsewhere in the Bible, we're taught that we must persevere in our faith. We must work it out with fear and trembling. We must endure. We must continue to listen and continue to follow. So again, there are kind of two things here that the Bible teaches clearly. On the one hand, we have a responsibility to keep going, to persevere. But on the other hand, we have the eternal sovereign plan of God that says, "Those I justify, I will always glorify. I give my sheep eternal life, and no one can take them from me." These again might be a little bit difficult for us to reconcile, but we know both must be true. Perhaps it's a little bit like this. As you walk from our house in Bracknell towards Bracknell Town Centre, you walk past the bus station. I don't know if many of you know the route. You do the same if you go from the train station past the bus station into Bracknell Town Centre. And as you walk along the path, it goes steeply downhill towards the underpass under the road. But there's a wall that starts at the same height of the path. But as the path goes downwards, the wall stays at about the same height. And so the drop off the wall becomes bigger and bigger. It becomes bigger and bigger. Both my kids love to walk along that wall, obviously. and they take great pleasure in reaching the end of the wall and jumping off from the great height. But when Titus was a bit younger and perhaps a bit less fearless than he is now, he'd begin the walk along the wall full of confidence. But as he moved forward and the drop to the side became larger and larger, he'd become more tentative and more fearful that he might fall off. But at the same time, he was desperate to get to the end. He was desperate to get to the end and be like his sister. But at the point where he became fearful, he would call to me. He would say, "Daddy, can I hold your hand for the next bit? Can I hold your hand for the next bit?" And he'd reach out and he would grasp my outstretched hand. He didn't do that because he thought his grip on me would save him if he fell. He did it because he knew that my grip on him would save him if he fell. And when we're worried that our faith is weak and failing, when we're tested or we're tempted, when we feel like we can't go on, when we feel like we might fall, we must call out. We must call out, Jesus, can I hold your hand for the next bit? We do so knowing that we are weak, but knowing too that we must persevere and make it to the end. And so we reach out and we take the hand of Jesus. And we know that our grip on him is so weak, but that gloriously his grip on us is oh so strong. And Jesus says, I've got you. I've got you. You're one of mine. I'm holding you in my hand, and I will never let you go. I will never let you fall. You can make it to the end. You will make it to the end. My Father's holding you too. I and the Father are one. What a promise that is. What an encouragement to us this morning if we feel weak. So, as the world grows increasingly hostile, and you wonder, is my faith strong enough to keep going? Jesus says, take my hand. You're my sheep. I won't let you go. You'll make it. If tragedy falls and your faith feels weak, Jesus says to you, take my hand. You're one of mine. I am with you, and I won't let you go. If you worry that you might not be able to sustain your faith for the rest of your days, whether they be many or few, Jesus says, you are my sheep. Keep listening. Keep following. Keep holding on to me. I won't let you go. And if you feel far from God and busy and tired and you worry that your faith might just peter out, Jesus says, you are my sheep. I've given you eternal life. I'll never let you go. I'll never let you go. A sheep will follow a shepherd. And we must be willing to follow and keep on following Jesus wherever he may lead us. We know that at times he will lead us through green pastures and beside quiet waters. We know also there'll be times when he leads us through dark valleys, but we know that he goes with us and he comforts us. And we can be assured of this from Psalm 23. His goodness and his love will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As the song puts it, for your endless mercies follow me, and your goodness will lead me home. I'd like to finish by reading you a few verses actually from John chapter 6, which I think summarize all of this really beautifully in words that Jesus said. This is John chapter 6, verse 37. Jesus says this, and hear this morning. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Praise the Lord. Amen. Shall we pray quickly? Father God, we thank you and praise you that though we are weak, you are strong. That though we are sinful, you love us. Though we deserve nothing from you, you sent Jesus, your Son, to save us, and you offer us eternal life. This morning, Lord, would you help us to persevere with our faith, even as we hold on to the promise that you will hold us fast. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.